John Tamahid is with us. Thanks for your time, John. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. It's good to hear some fresh voices in the big house. Claudette played some clips of Taku Te Whereas posing questions. Likewise, Hannah as well. These are big opportunities for our young people, John, and it must be tremendously satisfying to have more voices in your armoury in Parliament. But it's quite the milestone for them too, no doubt. What are you making of the way that they have settled in to their parliamentary responsibilities, John?
Well, look, I know this for a fact. One of the Te Pāti Māori has the authentic Māori voice. not others with whakapapa Māori and the other parties, because they are totally responsible to non-Māori machinery and thinking, and their voices, even if they are positive and proactive for Māori, will be drowned out. I know this because I used to be in the Labour Party, and that's what used to happen to me. But it must be worse if you're New Zealand First and ACT and National. It just must be terrible. But putting that to one side, that's the most important issue through the next 3 years, is that the only authentic mandated voice is Te Pāti Māori. So because it stood in the Māori seats, won all but one, and has the right to express the voice of the people from at least 85% of the population. So to suggest that these MPs don't have a mandate and don't have an authentic mandate because they stood in Māori enrolled seats and won those seats is just not true when you hear the likes of Winston Peters, Shane Jones, and Heather Seymour, who weaponises his Māori tanga. If he does have a whakapapa, and I struggle to understand how anyone with a whakapapa could be so able to weaponise his Pākehā tanga against his Māori tanga. Incredible. But anyway, that's the takeaway for the next 3 years. We will not accept anyone saying that we don't have that mandate. It's a matter of actual fact that is the case. So once you've proven your case, you move on, and all the other words they might say are just all nonsense and malarkey.
Debbie said last week, Shane, you seem so infatuated with Te Pāti Māori, why don't you join us? Interesting that he should put you in his sights so regularly. What do you make of it?
Oh, he's got a ugly white underbelly that voted New Zealand First in. So New Zealand First, in this iteration of New Zealand First, it's had many iterations because it only needs 5% of the vote to get in. Can't win a seat. He couldn't win Northland. He came bloody third or fourth. So the reality is because they can't win a seat, they have to hunt the landscape coming into the next election and hope like hell that they can target 5% of people, which they did, and they are the vaccine deniers, the mandate haters, the freedom people, any anti-government regime, and they're quite moneyed people. These are rich rural peoples, and if you look at the money that was pumped into New Zealand First, ACT and National from, say, Graham Hart, richest man in New Zealand, he's married into Mike Hosking's mob, right? And that's why they've got their own radio station, ZB, and their own paper, the New Zealand Herald. So, you know, like, when you see ACT, National and New Zealand First, being funded by these people, you know exactly what the drivers are. And they're not, that's not Māori money. That's not Māori sentiment. Not by a long shot. So as long as we understand who's pulling whose strings, we don't have a problem in saying who pulls our strings. It's our people on the street. And they turned out on the 5th of December, and that'll go down as a great date in our emancipation story as we move towards getting the direct transfers managed in our hands that we want.
Tēnā koe, John. And I haven't spoken with you since that action, which was coordinated very hurriedly, but it certainly was a shot across the bows for the government on the first day of sitting. What did you What's the upshot of that since we haven't spoken since early last week? You say the 5th of December will go down in the history of our emancipation. How important was it, and what do you think the positive outcomes of that action are?
Well, it proved a number of things that we knew it would. So I portended it on this program last Monday, but it turned out to be exactly the way in which we anticipated. So what we've got to do is build our movement in all the hoods. It doesn't matter whether it's in a little place called Kaitaia or Kaikoe or Dargaville or whatever. Wherever our people have a self-belief in themselves and want to stand up to protect our interests and to advance our population and to look after our mokopuna, they can do that in the comfort of their own hood, because we're building now a nationwide movement system. That demonstrated itself, even back on the coast, they held their little marches in Tokumaru Bay and Tararoa and so on and so forth. So there's a growing movement. And the beauty about the movement is that it doesn't need to just have a march on Wellington. That we know that this is going to be a three-year campaign. And what we needed to do is just build our organisation. And what the 5th of December demonstrated was we are now digitally connected. So we now have a social media network that we can believe in. And this station is one of them that we can believe in, because at least there's a fair contest of ideas here rather than one line, which is the Mike Hoskins, Heather depressing Alan or whatever her name is on the other channels, right, on the Park and the White News. So as long as we believe in ourselves, believe in our own databases, believe in our own influences, believe in ourselves, we are on the road to a significant form of activism and resistance. And on the 5th of December, we demonstrated it by just calling it out within 72 hours. And leadership stood up everywhere, from Hastings all the way through, Tāmaki Makaurau all the way through. If they keep pushing us, instead of going slowly on motorways, we will stop. And we will stop this country in its tracks for running over the top of us wrongly. And so that's the message that was sent on the 5th of December. And I think it's a very important message that the three wise men get in their heads. And we had to do that on the commissioning of Parliament. And we had to do it on that day when our people were swearing an oath firstly to ourselves, and then because of the nonsense of our present constitution, to somebody thousands of miles away. You know, like, how does King Charles work here? It doesn't. But anyway, we'll cross these bridges as we come to them.
Tēnā koe. At this time of the year, we tend to talk about how the year has been, and Waipareira is such an important vehicle for Māori emancipation. I just wonder that at times whether there's risk involved with you as the CEO and also as the president of Te Pāti Māori, whether when you put heat on the government, ultimately the funding streams that Waipareira are reliant on could be tempered. Does this activity come with some risk from that organisation's perspective, John?
Standing up for what you believe in as an Indigenous population has risk, always has. You know, colonisers always take out the stick on us. But the beauty about our position at the moment is they also have a constitution which says in a democracy you should be able to express your political beliefs without fear or without favour. So I don't want to be favoured like the billionaires that have paid ACT, National New Zealand First, to be in government. I don't want to be favoured with the tax breaks that they have and no tax on wealth. So we're not in business to manipulate that like they are. What we're in business to do is to seek self-management. Because when Pākehās get self-management, oh, it's a great thing. You know, they're clever and they're innovative and they've got initiative. When Māoris want self-management, it's separatism, it's apartheid, it's no good, it's cunning, they can't be trusted. You with me? Now, that juxtaposition, that difference, that world of difference, that chasm, can no longer be tolerated. Otherwise, we'll just stay on the bottom of a society in the lands of our ancestors, and that just can't continue. Now, what money would you put on that? You cannot put a cent on mana. There is money, but there's also mana which rises above that. And I think our leadership here, whether it was Auntie June Māori, whether it was Uncle Jack Wehongi, whether it was Uncle Tuck Nathan, I can rattle all our leaders off. They would rather put their mana in front of taking a cent or a contract from the Crown by getting back in line and just doing what Uncle Tom tells us to do. And those days surely must be over. So we must stand up in our free and unfettered rights to be Indigenous peoples, regardless of how that plays out. Okay? So we will not tolerate being pushed back down to the bottom of the society. Just not unacceptable.
Tēnā koe. And I thought that it was an amazing show. It hastily convened, as you've touched on as well, last week, and I'm anticipating there'll be reasons to stand strong again, plenty going forward. Always neat talking with you, John. Look forward to our last conversation next week. Thanks very much for sharing some time. Tēnā koe. This is Pākehi Waha, Māori Issues Prioritised. Whakamihi a kai.